Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I did tweet out earlier in the day that we had a little bit of a surprise. And when we linked up earlier doing the thread over at SNY, and I saw that she was doing national radio, she's a big-time star. I mean, she's here. She's there. She's got her own show. She works at... I mean, you have like 10 zillion jobs, so you got to keep this into account. We welcome in a good friend of mine, kick-ass super talent, Julie Stewart Binks. What's up,
wow,
JSB?
Oh, man, what an introduction. And I love how you say my name, Julie Stewart Binks.
Well, listen, that's how
I was sort of introduced into the WFAN world when I was doing updates on FS1 into Mike Francesa's show.
Well, I'll be honest. You were introduced on my show. Some would say I have been introduced on my show, although I would argue otherwise. And I'll be honest, Julie, that's the first time I saw you.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is this spunky Canadian girl giving the updates and becoming the ultimate, like, hello, dear, in the New York audience?
That was you. It was kind of funny because I'd moved to L.A. from Canada and, like, knew of Mike Francesa, but had no idea what his reach was, really, in New York. And then I started doing updates, and people would tweet at me, and I had all this Mongo Nation, Monget Nation, all this kind of thing. And then it just started to become like I was a bit character in sort of his world, and I liked it. And Mike has been a really great friend and mentor to me and has helped me, especially as oddly as it is, I'm sitting in his studio with you right now, and the whole world sort of comes full circle. And yeah, so it's great. And I love doing this kind of stuff and getting to do stuff with you on the thread and SNY. I feel like sort of a New Yorker. Like, I'm not a New Yorker, so I'm Canadian, but like I live here and I love you guys and I love everything about the city, and I never want to leave it, and so hopefully I don't get deported anytime soon.
Well, it's pretty crazy. As a Canadian, you do kind of have this, like, New York attitude about you, and, you know, you're doing TV in New York. You have your own show. By the way, you got to plug that for everybody. Where can we find your TV
thank you.
Show?
I have two shows that just launched on Fubo TV, Fubo Sports Network, so if you don't know about Fubo TV, it's like a streaming service, kind of like Hulu, and there's a sports network on it. I kind of just explain to people, you can, if you have that streaming service, you can get it, or you can get my shows for free on FuboSportsNetwork.com. So one's like a sports comedy show, Call It a Night. The other one is called Drinks with Binks, where we sit down, have a drink. Could be non-alcoholic, could be completely
Come on, you're going on the show. I got to have an alcoholic drink. Come on, Julie.
Yeah,
I'm coming on the show. I'm having a drink.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's a guarantee.
I want to get you on either, especially for baseball season, but also maybe a little March Madness in there too, because I know you have a little affinity to roll the dice every now and again. Not even just for March Madness, but the whole season of any sports.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, if you see me on the craps table, that's the ultimate roll of the dice. So as someone now living in New York, we know you're a Toronto girl. You love your Raptors. You were at Game 6 of the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm. Cried.
I would cry, too. If the Dolphins win a Super Bowl, Syracuse wins a title, I'll be right there bowling with you. But what New York team, out of any of the New York teams, have you kind of found yourself gravitating towards? Is there one?
I mean, it's always going to be the Rangers, because that's like when I first came to the city in 2014 and met everyone and met all the media stars, met the Bruce Becks of the world and Tina Servazio, and it was for the Rangers, and the Rangers have been so nice to me. They gave me very good interviews. I sit downs with Henrik Lundqvist, and when he was on the team, Marty St. Louis, and so it was exciting. And I'm a hockey person. I'm a hockey fan. I'm Canadian, but I mean, the rest of the teams have been kind of brutal since I've moved here.
I was gonna say you might be the bad luck charm. I don't know.
Yeah, like
I used to think that you brought a lot of positive
vibes
down.
They've been bad
so sure.
before I got here.
All right,
yeah. I haven't helped them, but I didn't hurt them. All right, spin zone.
The Jets. There's no saving them. You did come here for a Met World Series. You came in 2014.
I wasn't living here yet.
Well, that's the interesting thing about your journey too, right? Because you've been all over the place. I mean, you lived in L.A. You've lived in Toronto. You're living in New York. Any other places on this?
I've lived in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to try to say that on the air. I'll pass.
The city that rhymes with fun, as we say, Winnipeg, Manitoba, Toronto, Kingston, and London, England. So that's why I have no friends, because I just have, like, people I've met. I'm just like a rolling stone that gathers moss, whatever the saying is, the whatever.
Go off trying to have me figure it out.
Yeah, yeah, especially not at the well, 2:10 a.m. But it's been fun. What's been great is getting to talk a ton of sports with you and getting to, especially Yankees, such exciting season.
Well, we're all fired up here. And I don't know about you, when you were doing 4 hours of national radio, getting kind of astroed out, what I mean. Now, they sounded like total asses. They made fools of themselves. But at the same time, it's like, we know they cheated. We're sick and tired of hearing it. And the best way to get revenge is go out and beat them when you play them in the regular season of the World Series.
And especially in this city, like, no one liked the Astros anyway because of
all the rivalries
and everything that we've seen. And then the fact that they beat them and then we find out they're cheating, like, yeah, you hate them. Like, you have to hate them so much. And the fact that they came out today and didn't really have an apology and it was like this, oh, I'm sorry if you're offended type of apology, non-apology. And we're like, wait, what was this? Also, most people didn't know who Jim Crane was before today. I was like, well, who is this guy and what is he doing kind of messing up everything? Is that I don't think they're going to come out and say anything anymore. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, everyone's saying they should re-apologize. That was not good enough. No, these guys.
Well, listen, that's the apology at this point.
That
but
was
what
the
are
apology.
You doing hiring a PR firm, right? Like, that is the sort of money that I might as well take and flush right down the toilet.
Yes.
What are you doing for 3 or 4 weeks?
And it's got to be crisis PR. We've seen issues happen to people. We see celebrities getting into trouble. We've seen a lot of different things. This is crisis PR where you have to know exactly what you're going to say and you've already prepared. It's like going up on a witness trial stand. Like, you're getting cross-examined. You know how to answer these questions already. What they did today was just, they didn't care. They don't care. They're arrogant. They don't even feel like they were in the wrong. Because they probably feel as though, and I don't, everyone says, oh, this is just the tip of the iceberg. Everyone else is doing it. But then that takes away from the gravity that this is wrong that the Astros did it. Like, we don't know if everyone is necessarily doing it. I will say, I've been now talking about this for a while, that I'm in the conspiracy theory that.
Of course you are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
doing a deep dive of, like, obviously, Rob Manfred and MLB did not discipline the players because they have some kind of immunity with him. This is my conspiracy.
To get the information, yeah.
To get the information, but that also everyone knows that there's other people doing it. And so he's not coming down on them because then they might say, hand up, well, we know all these other people are doing it. Why are we getting chastised for this? So it's almost like he's saying, listen, I won't do anything to you guys. We all know that this whole league is tainted. And Rob Manfred knows it. Okay, I believe that. Why are they not going to strip away their title? Because this looks bad on Rob Manfred.
Look at you turning into an investigative reporter. I love it. We got Julie Stewart.
I'm just turning into crazy pants right now.
She is the host of many shows.
I make a lot of money at all of them, considering I have to have a million of them.
That makes two of us,
New York
by the
City,
way.
Baby.
Gotta hustle. You know it. So you are the queen of analogies.
Oh.
And this is what I learned working with you. And I didn't know it, you know, watching you on Fox or ESPN, Barstool, all this stuff. I didn't know you would be able to, no matter the sports situation, find a way to give me a time. Like, you gave a Home Alone one with Buzz the other day.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Actually, I think it was today's show
on
the thread.
I did do a Home Alone one.
Thankfully, they don't show the camera on me because, like, I'm got, like,
I could tell.
Smile.
You were standing beside me, and I was like, good. Because, like, I want to feel a reaction with some of these. And Dan Grassa, who hosts the show a lot, too, he gets in, like, he you know, response them.
Oh, I usually respond when I can.
No, I like that. So the one I had today that I liked was, okay, this is about Garrett Cole. So, you know, he's about talking about the buzzers and whether or not this actually existed, da 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 da. Also, I said the syntax, like, look at the way they respond to some of these things. It's like, well, in my knowledge, I've never seen that. Or there's a way to get around it by, if it does come out, you technically weren't lying. Anyway, I digress. Is the idea that at the end of Home Alone, Kevin's cleaned up the whole house. He's saved it from the wet bandits. And then his dad's in the living room and sees the crown, like the gold crown for the
Joe Pesci's tooth
on the ground. And he picks it up and he's just like, Kevin, like, he realizes that there's something else. So it's like, basically, what we realized today was there was, with the fact that this buzzer thing hasn't been tied up and that there's still sort of smoke and fire, there's almost like a sign now. It's like, something else is there. Something else happened. Because why else is this still sitting around? AKA, why is Joe Pesci's tooth sitting on the floor of this house?
See, folks, this is what I get all the time. This is what you get on live TV over at
this
SNY.
Is what you get.
How did you come? How did you
Amazing
get this?
Insight.
No, but like in all seriousness, how did you like all of a sudden start like forming all of these ideas into like your style? Like it's very unique.
Yeah.
It's, you know, your comedic sense that you bring and kind of combine into sports. Is this something you've just kind of always had?
Well, when I started doing stand up last year, I learned that comedy is a point of view and a relatable idea. Okay, so take that into sports. Because when I'm with you and we're talking sports, you know, you've got the stats, the background. Like, you're a brainy.
Yelling and screaming.
Yeah, you're yelling and screaming. You're like the algebra math guy, stats.
I've never heard that before in my life. I'm going to take that as a compliment. Algebra, stats.
Algebra,
makes
math
me feel
guy.
Smart.
Smart numbers. And I'm like, how can I bring something a bit different? I want to do something that's a bit more fun, relatable. That's, I'm not going to be stat girl. So what do I do? Okay. Point of view. What do we got? The apologies were non-apologies. That's, what is that like? Oh, that's like Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm, not really apologizing to that NBC executive that he, it was season 7 or whatever, that he upset. So he didn't want to be too sincere. He didn't want to be too begrudging. So he's trying to go down the middle. Ends up being too begrudging. Comes across like a Jim Crane. Comes across like an Alex Bregman. I try to find something that's, what is this like? Like Jim Crane today saying that us stealing signs didn't necessarily lead to us being able to win the World Series. It's like saying, yes, I had the test answers for the exam. That's not the reason why I got an A+. No, that's absolutely ridiculous. Like, try to think about it in other terms. So I kid you not, JJ, I'll say, what is this? The answer to this question. What is my thought? Okay, what's that like now? You know?
I like reading into the thought process, by the way. And I always ask this of people, especially when you meet me in like a professional setting for the first time. What was like the initial Julie Stewart Binks reaction to, holy smokes, who is this tall, skinny guy yelling and screaming? Is he like a cartoon character? Is he a real person? Like, I wonder about what these like initial thoughts are on the outside. And now, because it's live New York City radio, you can actually share them with not only me, but the entire audience.
I think you are a fascinating person because you are kind of like a caricature of a New Yorker, but you're like a golden retriever too, because like you're really excited about everything. Like you're excited about Syracuse, you're excited about Miami, and you love life, and you are a golden retriever. Like, you know when you see a golden retriever and they're like just happy about everything.
They're
like
great dogs. Yeah
you are, and I love that energy, and you bring it on the show, and that's what's easy to work with. But someone who's doing this shift and is like excited about it,
That is
Daniel the golden retriever status. You might not win best in show, but you're going
to
be a fan favorite.
Well, I want that best in show too while we're at it. And listen, before we get you out of here, you took the show on the road to Miami for the Super Bowl. And let's just say I was quite jealous because, you know, we all have the Instagrams and whatnot.
Oh,
we see, you know.
It was exactly what it was like on Instagram.
Oh, my goodness. When you're seeing good things on Instagram, you're like, wow, it's 10 times better when you're actually there in person. What was the highlight of Super Bowl week for you?
Honestly, Super Bowl week for me was so stressful because we just loaded ourselves up with too many interviews, Radio Row. If you know, it's like this big convention center. You get interview. Interviewing Rob Riggle. I did improv with Rob Riggle on camera, which was really cool because that's stupid. I can't even believe I asked
him
to do
that.
Whatever. Yeah. I was like, what am I doing? And then
did he give you a hard time about it?
Oh, he did, because he called me out and like he said, you have to say yes and, obviously, in improv, and I've done this whole school and everything, but one of the comments I had was a bit of a negation. I was turning down the yes and he called me out on it, and I can't tell, I was body bagged by Rob Riggle. I was like microwave, just melted, like, wow, why was I doing improv with like a real actor? So, but it was good, and I did go to a party where I met Tom Brady and Giselle.
Tom Brady and Giselle.
And that's not usually who I roll with.
Rob Riggle, I mean, listen,
I'm just going to pick up all these names off of the floor.
So basically, when I go out to Vegas in a month, can you like set me up? Can you get me the table
to
win?
It was a one-time thing. I'll never get that back. It was like Cinderella. I just like had it and it's gone.
And now the clock struck midnight. Yeah.
Back to being cleaning floors now.
There you go. It's back to the thread over at SNY. She is the great Julie Stewart Banks. Listen, JSB, it was great having you on.
Yeah, thanks for having
me. You worked a ton today. You did TV, you did 4 hours of radio. You're staying up with me. So thanks for hanging out. And the show, one last time, call it a night, Drinks with Binks. Where can we find it?
Yes, Fubo TV, FuboSportsNetwork.com. It's easy. I put up clips on my Twitter, JSB_TV or at JSB, whatever. Find me. I'm everywhere.
You can find her. I don't sleep. That makes two of us,
by the way. Big Instagram.
Up at 4 in the morning. We'll see about that.
All right. Thanks, JJ.
Good stuff there from Julie Stewart Binks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.